Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. Now, we're often imitated these days, but never duplicated. First on the docket, father of the missing Summer Wells says, stop the negativity. Second, Richard Sherman receives a PR bond. Third, a woman held captive by her Tinder date. Fourth, another teacher violates his position of trust. Illinois no longer wants to be the false confession capital, at least for minors. A judge describes this conduct as bizarre and horrific. And then finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day, a recap of our contestants throughout the week to see who you crown as the dumb criminal contestant winner of the week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. Now, if you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. Please follow us there. All right, and also, if you can't watch us here, you can download Crime Talk on any podcast provider. We're there on all of them. All right, let's get to the docket. All right, the father of missing five-year-old Summer Wells is telling everybody to stop the hate. That's right. Summer Wells, the five-year-old Tennessee girl, disappeared from her home on June 15th. So here we are, 1 month and a day later. Investigators have received, as they described, over 980 tips, but no progress has been made for the location of little Summer. Now, Summer is 3 feet tall and weighs about 40 pounds. At the time she went missing, she was wearing gray pants, a pink shirt, and may have been barefoot. Her blonde hair is believed shorter than what is in the picture below, but hopefully it would help somebody identify Summer. Both of Summer's parents have criminal records in other states, and there's been some speculation and rumors that have swirled around, particularly on social media, indicating that maybe the parents should be people of interest, and I'm sure the police have looked at them. No charges have been filed, so you must give them the presumption of innocence. Well, Don Wells, the father of Summer, made a statement today, and he said, the negativity on social media, the attacks on my family, and the misinformation being circulated is not helping to find Summer. He went on to say that people on social media are only adding to the pain the family is going through, and it's affecting his other children who are already hurting, end quote. Now, the police are looking into a red pickup truck, possibly a late 1990s Toyota, which may have been in the area of Ben Hill Road on June 15th and 16th. It had a full-size ladder, racks, and white buckets in the bed. The police are not saying this is a person of interest, just someone that may have some information, or they think maybe may have seen something around that time. If you have information, contact the police, but don't waste their time on complete speculation and hunches versus real evidence. Well, yesterday we brought you the 911 call for Richard Sherman, and I think most people agreed that commented in the comment section that the 911 dispatcher could probably use a little more patience and just being a little more civil to people on the other end who are obviously going through a traumatic time. I understand they need to keep the situation calm and get the information that they need, but you still need to have a little empathy for the circumstances. Well, Richard Sherman was arrested, and the judge said that he is an upstanding member of the community despite these most recent allegations, and Mr. Sherman received a PR bond. He's due back in court later today for multiple return of charges, which is probably going to include DUI and resisting arrest. He was originally arrested on attempted burglary. Like I said, we brought you the 911 call. Now you can take a look at the conduct or part of the conduct that got him arrested. Fortunately, he didn't go in the house, because once you break the plane of the door of the house, then you truly have a burglary. If you can't get in, it's at most harassment, maybe a little menacing, something along those lines. So strong doors, big walls make for great neighbors and also prevent Mr. Sherman from getting additional charges. Mr. Sherman should be thanking his father-in-law, I believe it was, the house that he was trying to get into, for not opening that door. Probably his best thing that ever happened. Next on the docket, a woman is held captive by her Tinder date. Now, what have I said, ladies and gentlemen? If you're using some of these social apps, social dating apps, I guess is a better word for it, you need to check these people out. We give you the tools to check people out, and we'll do it again. But it's dating malpractice if you are not checking these people out. And I'm not talking, oh, a quick Google search that says he lives on such and such road, or maybe a LinkedIn profile. No, you need to look at their criminal background check to see what is there. Okay, a woman managed to escape the house in the Oakland area of Los Angeles on Monday. And when she escaped, she went screaming down the street, shaking, crying for help, and she was pretty incoherent. But what they were able to figure out was that she was escaping from someone who had been holding her against her will. She ran for several blocks, according to bystanders, begging for someone to help her. Little concerning, no one really stopped to help. The police were ultimately contacted. They say that they have a suspect in custody and that they're investigating the matter. The person, the suspect in this particular case, his name has not been released, but it's alleged that the man that was holding this unidentified woman against her will, they had met on Tinder when she escaped. She was running down the street, and that a man drove up to her and pulled up to the car and threatened to kill her. Scary situation. Fortunately, it's now in the hands of the police. Hopefully justice will be done. Yes, we'll give a presumption of innocence, but this woman's saying that she was both physically and sexually assaulted. Be careful, ladies and gentlemen. You never know who is on the other side. I don't care how good they look on their LinkedIn profile. Check their criminal history. Everybody has a secret. Everybody's hiding something from someone. Check it out. Let's take a quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, another teacher violates his position of trust. Mark Sherman Allerson, who was a former teacher, was sentenced yesterday to 10 years in prison and will have to register as a sex offender for life. He was sending sexually explicit emails to an eighth grader. Really? An eighth grader. He was 50 years old at the time. Once again, what does an eighth grader have any interest in a 50-year-old? None. Mr. Allison knew that. He preyed on young kids. In this particular situation, he would not only send sexually explicit emails, he would apparently rub up against the young girl while he was hugging her in class. Of course, that was just being the good, caring, sensitive teacher. He purchased her some sex toys and brought syringes to school in an attempt to, get this, draw and drink her blood. Okay. Fortunately, Mr. Allison was charged after he was arrested and now is going to prison. Once again, the overall theme here is be careful. Just because somebody is in a position of trust like a teacher doesn't mean that they are doing what is best for your children. You have to be careful. Talk to your kids about this. Happens too often, ladies and gentlemen, and it's preventable. Next on the docket, the state of Illinois no longer wants to be the false confession capital, at least for minors. Governor Pritzker signed a bill into law barring the use of common interrogation tactics on suspects under 18 years of age. And what are those common deceptive interrogation tactics? That's right, like promising leniency or insulating the existence of incriminating evidence during interrogation. Now, this goes into effect on January 1, so your minors are still going to be lied to up until that date. Now, I've got a real problem with the police line. They're supposed to be doing it better and cleaner than the next guy, but there's actual Supreme Court case law that goes back to the early 70s where this was challenged, and the Supreme Court said it's okay to lie to a defendant. It's okay to tell him that your co-defendant was next door and he was telling everything, so you might as well roll on him as well. You know, the old promises for leniency. Let me tell you, no cop can make a promise for leniency to anyone. You say, oh, really? If that's the case, as attorneys do, say, then let's get the United States attorney or district attorney in here and have them put it on paper. If it doesn't appear on paper, it didn't happen. So now the police in Illinois can't do it to minors. They can still do it to adults. And perhaps maybe that is why Illinois, particularly Cook County, right there in the Chicago area, has been known for the fact that they are the false confession capital of the world. Maybe it could be because of all of the tactics that are used, that maybe people don't have much trust in the police, particularly there in Chicago. And we all know the Chicago Police Department's very busy. You know, they are, I think, also the murder capital of the world. So they've got that going for them as well. So at least they'll give up one title. They'll keep another. Good for you, Illinois. Not so great, Cook County, Chicago there. Maybe next year you can lose that title. Maybe Philadelphia, D.C. will pick it up. We'll have to wait and see. All right. A judge described this woman's conduct as bizarre and horrific. And you kind of have to agree with the judge's assessment. So Dolly Hendricks was convicted by a jury of her peers of first-degree murder. Now, what was alleged and what was proven from some body cam video, a tractor trailer that had a video going. Well, when Miss Hendricks smashed into a 68-year-old gentleman by the name of Andres Claudio. Now, he is apparently the father of two of Miss Hendricks' children. Apparently, he asked for a ride. She goes over there, picks him up. An argument ensues regarding money. Can you imagine why? Anyway, when Mr. Claudio gets out of the car, Miss Hendricks smashes over him and drags him about 30 feet before she drove away without assisting him. Miss Hendricks was found on her porch by the police, apparently quite relaxed. The defense of the case was, yeah, she intended to run him over, Mr. Claudio, but she didn't mean to kill him. Jury didn't believe it, and it's the act itself that warrants the punishment, not what you actually intended to for the circumstances. So when you intend run somebody over, you're intentionally doing that, and it could be serious bodily injury or it could be death. Both you could be convicted for by a jury, and that's what took place here. Now, what did Miss Hendricks have to say for herself at sentencing? Well, I was upset. I was frustrated. I felt disrespected and ignored. She said that her thinking wasn't clear before she did it, and she just reacted. She stated that her psychosis kicked in, and that must have happened when she drove up to pick him up because they began arguing about children and money. Claudio reached into his pocket for his keys, apparently. She thought it was maybe reaching for a weapon. The judge basically said, bizarre and horrific, life in prison. That basically sums it up. Yes, a little bizarre. And when people say, I was upset, I was frustrated, I felt disrespected and ignored, that is no reason to drive over somebody and then drag them. And by God, if you do, you certainly want to give aid so that, you know, unless it's maybe a dark street, nobody's going to know who did it. But here you're on video, you better stop. It's going to look a lot better at your sentencing that you gave aid. Just a little word of advice there. I'm not saying to run anybody over, but if you do, be smart. Be smart. All right, let's get to our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Then we'll recap our dumb criminal contestants for the week. Now, normally, attorneys don't make it to our dumb criminal contestant, but today, one does. Eugene Fehrenkrog. Eugene Fehrenkrog is our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Why is he our dumb criminal contestant? Was he not an attorney? No, he was an attorney, but he was appearing in front of St. Louis County Circuit Judge John Bourbonus. And apparently, Mr. Fehrenkrog, he told the judge to go F himself, rhymes with Chuck. You know where I'm coming from. Yes, that's right. That is contemptuous conduct, and you can be held in criminal contempt. Now, this attorney's been practicing for 50 years, since 1971, and apparently just didn't like the situation with the judge. But I've had lots of those situations. Haven't been practicing for 50 years, but you know, at 50 years, you probably feel like you owe at least one F off to a judge. Wouldn't that be nice? But this particular case didn't work out so good. Mr. Fehrenkrog was sent to jail for 1 week and declined any comment. Now, Mr. Fehrenkrog, I like your style in the sense that you figure, hey, I've been doing this a lot longer than this judge. He's probably is wrong. And you just told him to F off. I admire it. Wouldn't do it because don't want to go to jail. Probably going to be sanctioned through the bar as well. Anyway, sir, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the week. We'll see if you can meet or exceed the competition throughout the week. Let's do a quick recap of our dumb criminal contestants of the week. Mr. Muhammad Kabir came in on Monday. Remember, he was the guy that was pulled over for speeding and had a suspended license and thought the genius ideas would be to call 911 and say that a male had been shot at the Walmart up the street. Well, the police found no one had been shot. They were able to figure out where the phone call came from. That's right, from Mr. Kabir. And he was arrested for making false alarms. Tuesday, Connecticut teenager Hollister Tryon broke into his high school's online yearbook database and changed the yearbook quotes of classmates to Hitler quotes. That's right. Wednesday, Justin Pope stole a ring from his then girlfriend and then pawned it, for $4,500 to go buy her a new ring. The two are no longer together. The theft took place some 2 years ago, so I'm guessing she just figured out that her ring was purchased by the sale of her stolen ring. Tough move there, Mr. Pope. Thursday, 76-year-old creepy guy Vincent Kopasek, who sexually abused a 15-year-old who was sitting in the seat in front of him on a plane from Bozeman, Montana to Austin. And then we had the bonus. Remember Eric Detige? He was kind of an update. We updated him, the infamous pickle packing perv who was pleasuring himself with a pickle. Well, he got credit for time served and indecent exposure, just a little bonus. And then obviously our attorney today, Mr. Farron King, who told the judge to go F himself. Bold move there, counselor. Bold move. All right. I'm telling everybody, you don't tell the judge to F off. I've seen it. Some judges, particularly if somebody's in custody, maybe with a little bit of mental health issues, will give somebody a pass. But normally, most judges say, oh, no, 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 no. We're going to stop that right there because you get more of what you tolerate. And if you tolerate that and don't punish it, you'll get more of it. It's kind of like crime, ladies and gentlemen. All right. That's all we have for you today. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you next week on Crime Talk.